This morning we give our attention to Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. John records it for us in the final verses of chapter 18 and in the opening verses of chapter 19 of his gospel. Permit me to read just verses 10 to 15. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. In the name of our Lord Jesus, Pastor Rosh, members and friends of Mount Olive Congregation, when I was in college, I knew some of the guys who were on the wrestling team. Those guys were big and they were tough. For my part, I'm happy that I was not out for wrestling. I did not care to stand in the wrestling ring with any one of them. But in fact, we Christians do have a wrestling opponent who is much bigger, much tougher than any guy in the dormitory. And that is Satan himself. In his well-known hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," Luther ended stanza one with these words, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal." Satan is powerful. That would be bad enough. But to make matters worse, Satan also has a friend, a powerful ally. And that ally is the world, the millions of unbelievers out there in our world. Jesus once said to a group of unbelieving men, "Don't call God your father. You people, you unbelievers, are children of the devil himself." And when Satan now teams up with his children, the world's unbelievers, we Christians don't have a chance. And that is why we find joy in our Lenten theme for this year: the Son of God goes forth to war. Jesus, the Son of God, entered into our world in order to do battle against Satan. And Jesus won that battle. He crushed Satan's head in the dust. And while he lived here on earth, the Lord Jesus also battled against the unbelievers of our world. This morning we see Jesus in action against one particular unbelieving man. This morning we have ringside seats at a wrestling match. The match takes place in a courtroom. It's early in the morning of Good Friday. In one corner is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the other corner is Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. It's the main event of the day, and here we see Jesus versus Pontius Pilate. We note in particular from the Word of God that the battle tactics of Pontius Pilate, and then secondly, the decisive victory of Jesus Christ. Before the battle even begins, however, we note that Pontius Pilate has a distinct advantage. Pilate is surrounded by his soldiers, armed men who are ready to obey any command he might give to them. On the other hand, Jesus stands there alone. He has no lawyers, no friends. His disciples had all run away the previous night. Jesus will fight this battle alone. And that's the tactic that our world loves to use today also. The unbelieving world likes to gang up on Christians when they are alone. Perhaps a young Christian who is attending the university, or a young Christian who is away from home in military service, separated from family, separated from members of the congregation who gather here regularly around God's Word. In some cases, Christians deliberately separate themselves from their church family. They deliberately separate themselves from the group who comes to that comes to here to hear God's Word, receive the sacrament. And when the unbelieving world finds a Christian alone by himself, that gives the world a huge advantage. Now, Pontius Pilate was probably not familiar with the Bible. He probably knew little or nothing at all about God's plan to send a Savior into our world. And therefore, when the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate early on Friday morning, he began by asking Jesus a number of questions. He probably was sincere and honest. He said to Jesus, Jesus, the crowd of people out there are bringing all kinds of serious accusations against you. Are those accusations true? Are you really the King of the Jews? And Jesus gave a clear, simple answer to Pilate's question. Jesus told Pilate about himself and about his work. He said, "Yes, Pilate, in fact, I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. As a matter of fact, I also am not from this world. I entered into this world from above, from the right hand of God. And I came into the world for a reason. I came in order to declare the truth, words that come from the mouth of God Almighty himself." Now that's the world's tactic number two. The world loves to ask questions. Sometimes the questions they ask us are sincere. They deliberately want to know something about God. They deliberately want to know something from the Bible. More often, though, perhaps the world's questions are not sincere. The world challenges us, dares us to stand up for our Christian faith. The world might ask us, "But do you really believe the words that Jesus spoke there to Pontius Pilate? Do you really believe that Jesus is a king who came down from heaven to live here on earth for a time? But do you really believe that the words Jesus spoke are the truth, the absolute truth, the only truth? Do you Christians really believe that Jesus is the way, the only way to eternal life, as the Bible declares?" And with those questions, challenging questions, the world would like to jump on us and pin us to the ground. And with those words, God also, by the way, gives us a fine opportunity to confess our faith, just as Jesus gave a clear confession of the truth when he stood before Pilate. Jesus' answer to Pontius Pilate was clear and very polite. Unfortunately, Pilate did not believe it. For Pilate, this unbelief was much more than a simple difference of opinion in religious matters. As a matter of fact, the world hates the truth. It actively opposes the truth of God's word. And to show his contempt for Jesus and for the words that Jesus spoke, Pilate now permitted his soldiers to ridicule Jesus and bully him. Pilate looked the other way while his soldiers took some branches from a thorn bush, wove it into a circle, and then placed it on Jesus' head, pressed it on his head as a kind of a crown. Looked the other way when the soldiers found a purple robe lying in a corner someplace, put it on Jesus to make him look like a king, royalty, and then began to slap him in the face and even punch him in the face. And unbelievers today also have that same attitude toward the truth of God's word, unbelievers hate the truth. As the Apostle John wrote, don't be surprised, Christians, if the world hates you. And then Jesus himself added, it hated me before it hated you. And so the world loves to make us look like fools, loves to ridicule us, while godless governments look the other way. They burn Christian churches and burn the homes of Christian people. Here in our own country, they targeted a particular couple of Christians, one a baker, one a florist, two individuals who could not go along with the world's new definition of marriage, took them to court, tried to ruin their lives and their businesses. And this brings us to tactic number four. Pilate was a good politician. He wanted to keep everyone happy, but now he was in a tight spot. Pilate knew very well that Jesus is innocent. On the other hand, the Jewish crowd out there kept insisting that Jesus be put to death. Now what? It seems that Pilate, like most others in our world today, assumed that people are basically good by nature. He assumed that if the crowd out there would be given a choice between something that is clearly good and something that is clearly very evil, then the people would certainly choose the good. That gave Pilate an idea. Pilate found the most vicious, obnoxious criminal in his jail, took him out, took the man before the crowd and said, look, it's Passover time. You people know that I generally release a prisoner to you at this time of the year. And this year I've decided to give you people a choice. Which of these two prisoners would you like me to release? Jesus, whom we all know is innocent, or this man, Barabbas, whom we all know to be guilty, a vicious criminal. And even Pilate was surprised when the crowd then began to chant, we want Barabbas. So no, Pilate, people are not basically good by nature. And we see evidence of that in our world today. More than one individual has remarked to me that it seems that our world is upside down. It seems we're living at a time when good has become bad and bad has become something good. Tactic number five involves the word fear. The Jewish crowd figured out a way to control the Roman judge. Pilate, you can't release this man, Jesus. You see, we Jews have a law. And according to our law, this man, Jesus, ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate heard those words, it says he was even more afraid. He had been afraid before. Now he's even more afraid. What am I going to do now? I'm afraid of the crowd outside. What happens if this crowd becomes violent and starts a riot? What happens if the entire city of Jerusalem rises up in a riot? On the other hand, I'm not an atheist. I know there is some kind of a God. What if the crowd is right? What if this man is the Son of God? What if there is going to be a judgment day? And what if this man is the judge before whom I must stand on that judgment day? So Pilate went back inside and asked Jesus once again, where are you from? And this time Jesus remained silent. Jesus had answered that question just a few moments earlier. And now we can hear the anger in Pilate's heart as Pilate turned on Jesus and tried to put fear into his heart. Jesus, don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize I am the Roman governor, that I am in charge here? Don't you realize that this is my courtroom and that I have power to release you and I have power to put you to death? And Jesus answered calmly, directly, Pilate, sir, you would have no power at all against me unless God had given it to you from above. And on judgment day, God himself will call you to account. And the world uses that same tactic number five today. The world flexes its muscle and says to us, Christian, don't you realize that we unbelievers are in charge here? Don't you realize that we have power to take away your property, to fine you, and to put you into jail? Christian, forget about those last words in your Lord's Prayer where you say, Our Father in heaven, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Threats, angry words, bullying. Pontius Pilate used those tactics back here on the morning of that first Good Friday. The unbelieving world continues to use similar tactics today. What are we going to do about it? Well, there's not a whole lot we can do. As a matter of fact, there's nothing at all that we can do about it. However, Jesus, the Son of God, did something about it. In his wrestling match with Pontius Pilate, Jesus won a decisive victory. How did he do it? He won that victory by clearly, calmly speaking the truth to Pilate. Yes, sir, Pilate, I am a king. I came down from heaven, from the throne of God, and sir, I proclaim to you and to others also the truth, the absolute truth. And Pilate, if you would have given me just one more minute, I would have been happy to add the words that I spoke to Nicodemus on an earlier occasion. Pilate, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world, Pilate, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When the world attacks us, we use that same word of God. We tell the world clearly who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and that word of God is a sword, a powerful sword, the sword of the Holy Spirit. And with that word, we defend ourselves against the world's attacks, and with that word, we pierce the hearts of unbelieving people, convicting them of their own sin and guilt, and then pointing them to Jesus, their Savior, from sin. By using God's word, Jesus won a battle in the courtroom of Pontius Pilate. And in just three more days, Pontius Pilate would receive the surprise of his life. On Sunday morning, his soldiers would have to report to him, Pilate, sir, he's gone. He's gone. We were guarding his grave out there when suddenly an angel came and pushed that huge stone away from the entry. The grave is empty. He's gone. And on the last day, Pontius Pilate will receive an even bigger surprise. On that last day, the king who stood before him as a criminal, a prisoner with his hands bound, will return in power and glory in the clouds, and he will then act as the judge of all people. Yes, Jesus was right when he stood there before Pilate. And because of that victory, our Lord Jesus can say to us today, dear Christians, do not be afraid. I have overcome the world. And so as you battle against the world full of unbelievers, I will not abandon you. I will be with you always and will continue to strengthen your faith through my word and sacrament. And just a couple more points, practical points. It's important for us to remember that by nature, we also were unbelievers exactly like Pontius Pilate. We are Christians today only because the Holy Spirit led us to believe in the Lord Jesus. And therefore, our unbelieving neighbors are not our personal enemies. Our enemy is Satan himself. Satan is the one whom we hate. And when Jesus then said, go and make disciples of all the nations, he was talking about our work out there in the world that is full of unbelievers. Jesus says, I've left you here. I've left you Christians here for a reason. I want you to bring the gospel to this unbelieving world. That means to people like Pontius Pilate, like the unbelieving Jews standing outside, people like your unbelieving neighbor or perhaps unbelieving relative. Our victory celebration will begin on the day we enter through the gates of heaven. But on Sunday, April 12th, we will have a preview of that victory celebration. That is Easter Sunday. And when we gather together, either here in this building or perhaps with our family around the computer screen at home, it will be a great celebration. Mark the date on your calendar. Don't miss it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.